T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's TPXY on 98PXY, the number one hit music station. It's Corey James, Breezy, and she's back with us once again.
Our BFF.
Yes, our BFF. The Lieutenant Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, joins us now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Of course. I mean, again, we've got a nice track record here of every time we talk to you, things have been improving more and more. So I think it's always good to get you on as much as we possibly can.
You noticed that, huh?
Yeah. Again, not taking all of the credit.
It's not a coincidence, Kathy. It's just not.
It seems like every time I talk to you, I'm heading off to Rochester. I'll be heading over there this afternoon as well.
Oh, perfect.
So, awesome. Can't stay away from us.
My weekly visit. Yeah. No, I love you guys. It's always fun to talk to you. And, yeah, you're doing a great service, and I don't want to joke around about that. I mean, throughout the duration of this pandemic, you know, people just, you know, kind of feeling lost and needing some direction or someone to keep them, their spirits high. And that's exactly what you've done, as well as making sure that they're informed on all of our priorities, what our game plan is to get us back. And so, to me, this is important to come on, and I enjoy talking to you, but it's also a public service that you're doing as well.
Well, it is our honor and privilege to do that. Trust me, we do take it very seriously, despite the jokes. But let's get an update on the reopening. Quite a few things have happened since the last time we've talked. We've moved into phase 4. Malls are up and running again for the most part, not 100%, but with the guidance in place. And then, of course, the big news this week was the guidelines that have been given when it comes to reopening schools in the fall. And certainly that's been on everyone's mind since this began.
Since March 13th, schools have been planning for this. Parents have been anxiously awaiting to know what the situation is going to be. And, you know, everyone has been really patient. I mean, everybody wants to know what the game plan is for school this fall. But up until now, we haven't felt comfortable because we haven't known the trajectory of this virus. I mean, is it going to stay where it is with a relatively low infection rate? Or could we end up like one of the other states that are dominating the news these days in terms of, you know, spikes just being out of control? I mean, who would have thought a month ago Miami would be the epicenter of the pandemic in this country and other states that thought they rather would? So we did have to wait a little while, but we feel we have a good metric in place that the governor will look at the plans being submitted by the school districts, and everyone should be as creative as they can. They know what they have to do in terms of social distancing and making sure there's masks and disinfecting, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, but let each school customize a plan that will work for them, present it to the state, and in the first week of August, the governor will let them know whether they can go ahead, but it won't be up to us. It'll be up to, not the administration, it'll be up to the people of New York, whether or not we've been able to keep the infection rate below 5%. And right now, we should be able to. There's no reason we can't. But that also makes a big assumption that people will continue doing the social distancing and not getting together with their friends and making up for a lot of lost time. And we're concerned about increases in young people who are gathering more without masks. And that's a big concern. That could be what holds us up in terms of coming back to school in the fall. We don't want to see that happen.
Certainly. We talked about this earlier on the show, and I brought it up. The director of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, actually said that America could essentially end the pandemic in 4 to 6 weeks if, quote, all of us would put on face coverings now for the next 4 to 6 weeks. We could drive this epidemic to the ground. So the importance cannot be understated.
You are so right about that. And it's so simple. It doesn't cost much money. You can, you know, take one of your old T-shirts and cut it up and wrap it around your face if you don't want to go buy a mask. I mean, there's a thousand ways you can do this in a creative way. But I saw a chart from the University of the Jacobs Medical Center at the University of Buffalo Medical School. It was astounding to see they could track the rate of infection, how high it was if only 25% of people wore masks. And when it went down to 75% of people wearing masks, it was literally flatline. Meaning,
wow.
He was absolutely right. It disappears. And how easy is that? It's something we've been talking about in New York. We were the first state to require masks back in March. And that has to be one of the main reasons we have the lowest infection rate in the entire country, coming down from having the highest rate. So,
right.
Yes, it's not hard to do, and we can get it done together. And I just don't know, understand why anybody wouldn't wear a mask.
Yeah. It's been a
we don't really understand it either, Kathy.
Contention quite a bit. But, you know, a lot of the time I think back to, you know, just a couple of months ago, and we were kind of in a weird bizarro world here. We had all of the restrictions in place, and we were looking at other places, and they were kind of going on as normal. And now, with the hindsight and seeing where things are now, obviously, the proof is in the pudding. We did the right thing, and it's showing up in the numbers. I mean, here in the Finger Lakes region, where we are here in Rochester, it's what, 1% infection rate? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's about 1.4%, but it's been really hovering around those really positive numbers, and, you know, the mortality rate is, been pretty consistently very low in the Finger Lakes area, and we're so happy about that. But as you said, it was a lot of sacrifice. I mean, it was not easy to literally shut down every element of society and the economy. It was a brutal thing to do to the people of the state. But we went from the very beginning, not based on what we wanted to do, our emotions or gut reaction. We went to the doctors. We went to the scientists. We went to the public health experts.
Wait, are you saying?
Who have thought about this.
Lieutenant Governor, are you saying they know more than our friends on Facebook? What? My mind is blown right now. Shocking.
Or radio talk show hosts in other parts of the country
who
challenge what the doctors are saying.
Sure.
I mean, we talk about a bizarro world. I mean, that's the one we're living in when people don't do something. And, you know, people have dedicated their lives to public health. I mean, when I was at University of Rochester Medical Center and talking to the experts there, I felt a high level of confidence. I said, these guys know what they're talking about. I'm going to listen to them. I don't know anything about this. We will do as they tell us. And there's a lot of really important research being done right in Rochester, right in upstate New York. It's fascinating. And I went from Rochester over to Syracuse yesterday to see what they're doing at Upstate Medical and all the vaccinations they're working on and ways they can do pool testing. You can test 25 people at once, all in one batch, and you can test wastewater to see. You can even test the wastewater coming out of a building to see if anybody has the virus in that building. It's fascinating.
Wow.
But, you know, these are the experts. This is not what politicians are known to know much about, other than we're smart enough to ask them. We're smart enough to let them guide our recovery, and that is really our success. And they told us early on about social distancing and masks, and that's what our policy has been, and that is why we're in a far better place. But also, you know, we can say all we want. If the people don't follow, if they don't trust us, they won't do it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So I am so proud of New Yorkers for these coming through these desperate times together as a state, really united in understanding why this sacrifice was necessary, how we're in a much better place now because of what New Yorkers did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul on with us right now.
Kathy, shifting gears here to child care. I know this is a passion topic of yours and something that you've been very vocal about. So you're arguing that child care is no longer being perceived as an individual family's problem.
I think that's tremendous progress. When I was having children and had to give up a job I loved, I was an attorney for Senator Moynihan on Capitol Hill. But yeah, there was those horrible decisions. There was no one to watch. I didn't have any family around. Their daycares really didn't exist at the time, and there was not a support system. So I stayed home for a long time, tried to start a business from home with two babies. That didn't work
goodness.
So well.
And,
so, you know, I had a baby on each hip and trying to cook dinner and talk to a client on the phone. It's like, yeah, this is – I've bad post-traumatic stress from thinking about those early months and years of raising
imagine.
The kids. But,
sure.
But I can't imagine doing it in the middle of a pandemic when the kids are home and more women are working than ever before, as they should be. And so this has been a problem forever. And now with the pandemic, it has really just put a spotlight on what this means for the recovery of our state and our nation. If we can't get these women, and I hate to say just women, but let's acknowledge reality, it's primarily on the shoulders of women. There are a lot of men who are sharing the load equally, which is great, but the majority of child care workers in the home are, the providers. If it's a two-family household, it's generally is the woman. So she wants to get back to work. She has to get back to work. The family needs her income. The employer wants her to come back to work. But who's going to take care of the children? Right. A lot of child care centers had to close during the pandemic. And people, yes, they work from home, trying to balance working from home with kids. But those who had to work outside the office, and what happens this fall, if there is a system where we protect our health of our kids and the school district wants to have children doing distance learning several days a week, New York City has proposed this, where 2 days a week the kids would be in classrooms.
The other
days, they would not. Mm-hmm. And so the hybrid situation, what does a parent do? So this is now the problem of the employer as well as it affects our comeback. And that's what I'm not hearing just from families anymore. I am really pleased that the conversation has shifted where employers are now saying that, yes, we have to help figure this out. We have to help our employees address childcare, whether it's on-site in the workplace, which could be really the easiest if it's a large enough facility and it makes sense, or is there some job sharing? Is there cooperatives that are put together with a number of businesses to provide this or give people additional subsidies in their paycheck to help cover it? We have to figure this out together because women have come too far. This is the 100th anniversary of women winning the right to vote. It's big in Rochester, the the home of Susan B. Anthony. We know this. Mm-hmm. But women really don't make full progress unless they have an equal shot at advancement in their career and to be able to achieve their full economic potential, their financial potential. And childcare is the barrier. And we need to address it now, or we're not going to have the full recovery we need to have in order to get firing on all cylinders again.
Absolutely. I mean, right. That's been the number one concern whenever we bring up that topic of schools and what the potential is of them not reopening. That's the biggest thing that people bring up is, all of the points that you brought up and the simple fact that some people can't afford to go to a one-income household. They need to have both of those incomes at the same time to be able to pay their bills. Yes. And it's just that simple.
And there's a lot of single heads of households.
That as well.
A lot of moms raising their kids as well. I mean, what do they do? This is a nightmare for them. And, if schools don't open because our infection rate exceeds 5% or they only open part-time, the question is, where are the kids going to go? And we need everyone to be figuring this out right now because it's going to be too late if we find out in September that a lot of people cannot go back to their jobs. It's going to hurt every person is going to be affected by this. If you have mm-hmm. children or you're an employer or a coworker, it's just a lot of, it's got a real ripple effect. And so this is something I hope that as a result of the pandemic, we'll put a lot more attention. The federal government can be very supportive with large infusions of money to the state for us to give to child care providers. There was money for providing child care for essential workers early on because we didn't have a choice. We had to get these nurses and doctors and people work in the hospital system as well as other essential workers. We had to get them into their jobs, or else we would not have functioned at all. And so we were able to get assistance from the federal government to provide child care at that time. But that has to continue, and it has to be for more than essential workers. Everybody needs a paycheck.
It's very refreshing to hear you say that employers are buying into this because we've seen some things here and there. I want to say the one that stuck out to me was at Florida State University that actually put out a memo saying you can't watch your kids while you're working remotely from home. Like, that seems so absurd and ridiculous to me.
Not realistic at all.
I couldn't believe any employer anywhere would have that attitude. It was unbelievable.
Oh, they're clueless. If they say that, they're clueless.
Like, what do you mean?
It came from a guy.
What do you want me to do?
Nothing personal.
Let me lock my kids in the basement for the day.
Yeah, seriously. Well, you've been all over the place when it comes to talking about this. You've been on MSNBC just over the weekend with Alex Witt. You wrote an op-ed for USA Today. So thank you for spearheading this, championing this, and certainly we hope that you are able to be part of the change that driving force for the change, because this is definitely something that everyone needs.
We sure do, and thank you for putting this attention on this as well, and hopefully a lot of employers are listening. If you haven't figured this out before now, this is a time that we need to just pull together and start lifting some of this burden from our families so we can allow everyone to achieve their full potential as well as for our economy. I can't tell you again, I cannot restate how important this is for the New York economy to figure out the child care crisis right now. And so I thank you for having me on this show. It's always great to talk to both of you, and hopefully there's positive developments the next time we get together. And as we've been
that's
tracking
the trend.
This, we've been...
Of course,
yeah, that's
Kat.
The trend. Whenever
of
you
course.
Talk to me, good things happen. Right
Lieutenant
now.
Governor, I
love that.
I assume now we've talked about it. We've manifested it. It's not in the air now. I assume the next time we speak, this whole childcare thing is going to be all figured out and it's going to be just fine.
You know, maybe the pandemic will be gone too, but
right.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Don't hold your
Lieutenant
breath.
Governor. Thank you so much again for everything that you do, and have so much fun this afternoon in Rochester.
Yeah, enjoy, Lieutenant Governor
I
Kathy.
Sure will.
All right. Thanks again
Always
for joining
do.
Us.
Thank you both.
Bye.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.